See, here's something I never understood. Thanks for stopping by the way. We have an incredible human fear of getting wet, and I don't understand why. Because naturally, it rains a lot from the sky, and things get wet. Getting wet is the most natural thing in the world. It's nature's way of cleaning us. It's like nature's car wash. But yet we are so paranoid about, oh my God, I could get wet. What's the big deal? Wet is refreshing. It's funny to watch people react to a little bit of a rain shower or drizzling outside. All of a sudden, people run for cover like it's some radiation has been released into the atmosphere, or the zombie apocalypse has begun and zombies are starting to hatch out of large pods. We run for cover. Oh my God, I might get wet. It's kind of funny to watch when, oddly enough, most of us every day we take a shower and we stand there with our naked bodies and we let ourselves get all wet. Is it the clothes? Is it the fact that your clothes are getting wet? Is that your paranoia? It doesn't matter if I get wet, but my God, my clothes could get wet. Oh my God, clothes never get wet unless you put them in a washing machine and then they get soaked and wet and they get the soap on them and wetness. Yeah, your clothes get wet. Just calm down. Well, Ron, maybe it's because when I'm wearing my clothes and they get wet, then I could catch a cold and I'm standing around in wet clothes. So what? So why is that such a horrible thing for your clothes to get wet? Let me tell you something. They dry off rather quickly. Things dry by themselves rather quickly. It's not a horrible thing. Is it you think you don't look good in wet clothes? Let me tell you something. You do. What's with the wet clothes? What with the wet thing? Oh, my skin could get all moist. What's wrong with you? What's the big deal? Here's what we should start doing. We should start taking showers in our clothes. What? Yes. Because that way, you're taking a shower and you're cleaning yourself and you're also cleaning your clothes. Yes. Pour laundry detergent on your clothes. Get some soap, walk into a shower stall, and wash yourself and your clothes at the same time. Does it make sense? Of course it doesn't. It makes no sense whatsoever. And that's the introduction to this program.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you have it.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Sit back, relax, like she said, and I'll take it from here. I will be at the helm. You just sit back and enjoy the scenery. It should be fun. Well, kids, have you been invited to the royal wedding? Me neither. What's up with that? How come I didn't get invited? I'm in the media. What do I stink? Did I not take a shower? Are my clothes too wet? What's the problem? I'm not going to watch the royal wedding on television. Why the hell would I watch somebody's wedding on television? Give me a break. Well, Ron, it's a royal wedding. It's the pomp and circumstance. I'll give you circumstance. I don't care about the pomp. I'm not into that stuff. If I wasn't invited, why would I want to watch it? I mean, I got snubbed, man. And you got snubbed too. Meghan Markle is a model. I think she started her career or became famous as one of the models on Deal or No Deal with Howie Mandel. Now, if that isn't royal stuff, I don't know what is. That's what royal people do, princes and kings. They watch Deal or No Deal on television, and they pick out their models to be wives. It's kind of a interesting pattern, but actually it's the first one of probably many to come. So here's Meghan Markle, this American normal girl who's a model, and all of a sudden she's swept off her feet by Prince Harry, or is it Harry? I don't know. Seems like a nice guy. I don't know him personally. Maybe that's why I didn't get invited to the wedding. You know, it's not that I had to sit up front. I could have sat all the way in the back, but I still wasn't invited, and it bothers me. On one hand, on the other hand, if I was invited to the royal wedding, I'd have to bring a gift or write out a check. You know, like here's $300. Hope you start your life, purchase your first home. See, that's not the case. What do you get as a gift for that for at a royal wedding? A crock pot? I mean, they don't need a crock pot. They don't need anything. They're royal people, you know, and no matter what happens, they're going to be better than you. Prince Harry, by the way, Harry, whatever, is the fifth online for the throne. Good luck, sucker. You'll never see that throne. Five of your royal family members have to die before you sit in that seat. The chances of that are so nil, it's not funny. So what's your point, Harry? Why even bother? I mean, you know, I guess the nice thing about being a royal person is that people watch your wedding on television. After that, who gives a fuck? I don't know. Well, good luck to them. I really don't care. I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch these people walk down the aisle and I'm supposed to sit there and drool or something. Some people are really attached to this royal wedding thing. It's a big deal. They get popcorn and everything and they cry. You don't know these people. Why would you go to somebody's wedding? You don't even know these people. And they shove it in your face. I mean, they arrive in a coach like Cinderella before midnight. I mean, it's what? What are you shoving that in my face for? I mean, most people, their used car isn't even running. You show up in a coach driven by golden unicorns. I mean, seriously? And what kind of church are you getting married in, man? That's a big cathedral. That must have put you out a few bucks. How far ahead did you have to book that sucker for your wedding? I mean, come on, man. It's not like the reception's going to be downstairs in the basement of the church where they're going to serve coffee, cake, and donuts. I mean, this is, you know, those are the kind of weddings we go to. Royal wedding, my ass. I'm not going to sit there in a chair with a box of tissues. Come on. Only way I'm going to do that is if my allergies kick up. Family event, 6 o'clock in the morning. People walking down the aisle wearing 50 zillion million dollar dresses. And come on. I'm not into that stuff. I mean, that's like idol worship, isn't it? And I'm not talking about American Idol. How did American Idol ever make it back on television? I watched that show for maybe a decade, for no reason whatsoever, other than I felt like socially I was supposed to. Everybody was watching American Idol. The big joke about that was that more people voted on American Idol than they did in one of the presidential elections, and I believe that because it was very, very popular. But then it was taken off the air because nobody was watching that thing anymore. Now, this year, they relaunched it after it being off the air for years and years and years, and they found out that, yes, indeed, nobody does watch the show. I did watch it a couple of times during this present season, and I don't know how they find people to be finalists who have no talent still. I don't know how that happens. It's just very, very boring. The judges are very, very boring. The whole show's very, very boring. Is it that I'm getting older and I'm finding that everything is very, very boring? Have you found that as well? Have we been seasoned by the Trump presidency and other things that go on in the world where everything is just so, even the big things are absurd? Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is so absurd that nothing really isn't absurd. Everything is ridiculous. Everything is stupid. Everything is absurd. Now, the only thing that isn't might be situations in your own family, because that's a different world. That's a world that you are intimately involved with. But everything outside of your family is like absurd. It's like life is absurd. The people in it are absurd. The situations are absurd. Everything's absurd. How many times can I say the word absurd? A lot, apparently. I never was able to do that. Usually after three absurds, I would stop. But now I'm going on with like 10 or 20 absurds. What's up with that? Speaking of absurd, welcome to the program. My guest a little bit later on in the program, not too far from now, will be Dr. Crystal Glangchai. Certainly not a Jewish person. She has written a book called Venture Girls. I find it fascinating. I did receive a copy of it. It's nice. It's about women who do great things. It's pretty cool. It's a great example not only for women but for men as well. And I think we've pretty much covered the gamut of sexual possibilities there, because it's not wonderful for farm animals. It could be, but I don't think they can read her book. So probably that's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. The Venture Girls is a very good book, and we're going to speak to Crystal very shortly in the program. I'm just saying that so that you can get so incredibly excited about it. When it happens, you'll just be beside yourself. And I don't know how you're beside yourself. I don't know how that happens unless you have a mirror and then you're physically beside yourself. Otherwise, I don't understand that term. I don't know what that means. I'm so excited that I'm beside myself. What does that mean? You've reached a psychological exhilaration to the point where you've split from your body and you're standing like right next to yourself. What does that even mean? Is that an out-of-body experience? I thought that happens when you're about to die. I don't understand that phrase. That phrase is absurd. Get it? I got a question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Are you wearing wet clothes? I'll tell you a funny story that is not funny. As a matter of fact, I actually have an introduction to this thing. We have an introduction to everything here. It's crazy, but we do. Here's a funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
I went to a baseball game recently, not a big major league baseball game, because that would be absurd. I went to a local baseball game in a stadium. They built a stadium in a nearby city here in Massachusetts, and I think college teams play there. But I go there every once in a while in the summer because the crowd is very tame and very nice, and they have hot dogs. The best place to have a hot dog is at a ballpark. It's not the best place to see a baseball game. Best place to see a baseball game is not to go at all. But somehow a hot dog at a ballpark tastes better, even though it's not better. It's just the atmosphere. So I'm there. All of a sudden, in the afternoon at about 4 o'clock, you see these gray clouds coming in over the stadium. And you know that it's going to start raining. You pretty much can figure that out. Some of the people go running from the stadium like we're being invaded by aliens from outer space. They run to their cars before the skies let loose with moisture. I was under a little overhang, and I still wanted another hot dog, so I stayed, as a lot of people did. The baseball players run off the field. They cover the field in some kind of tarp because, oh my God, you don't want the grass to get wet. And it starts raining. It starts raining rather hard. And there are some people in the stands who say to themselves, what do I care? I'm out for a good time, so I'm going to get drenching wet and soaked. So what? We had a great time because it's just fun to watch people get wet, especially women who don't wear brassieres. Now, that's not a sexist comment. It's just true. There's something exhilarating about a female part of the anatomy that sticks out. That when you're wearing clothes and the clothes get wet, it's exhilarating. It's more exhilarating than not having the clothes on at all. It's just fun. Guys that get wet, I don't know if women care for that or not. I'm not a woman. I don't know if that's a turn on. But women getting wet, not so bad. I had a great time. I walked up to the hot dog stand, had a hot dog, sat there, and watched people run around in the rain getting soaking wet. It was far more fascinating than a baseball game could ever be. Enough to the point where I'm sitting here on a radio program 8 years later and talking about it. And that's my funny story.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Hey, I'm in the third grade too.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
I think we're all crazy just a little bit, some of you more so than others.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
Yes, of course, you could have a podcast show host who's congenial and conversational and talks to you like you're both on the same level and discussing the issues of the day. But come on, isn't having a grumpy old bastard who hates just about friggin' everything way better? This is the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, how are you today?
Hi, Ron. I'm great.
Great. Crystal Glongchai joins us now, the author of an interesting book called Venture Girls, Raising Girls to Be Tomorrow's Leaders. What prompted you to write this?
It was really kind of my noticing a lack of, you know, women engineers, women CEOs, you know, women angel investors and VCs, and my desire to start with girls at a young age and really teach them the entrepreneurial mindset in order to empower them in STEM.
And you took this road. You're an entrepreneur, quite a successful one, as I understand.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
So my background was actually engineering, and in grad school I started a nanotechnology company. Taught in academia for many years, and then started a nonprofit. So for me, I mean, entrepreneurship and STEM just really go hand in hand, and they really allow you to turn your passions into reality.
Now, is this to grow the person, or to about funding companies, being an entrepreneur? What is it more focused on?
For me, entrepreneurship isn't really just about starting businesses. It's really instilling kids with an entrepreneurial mindset and skill set. So it's, you know, teaching kids and girls to be opportunity seekers, to not be afraid to try new things and to fail, to go out and solve problems. So it's really about growing the person. And it's a great side effect if they start a company and raise lots of money.
Now, whether you be a man or a woman, don't you have to have something in your DNA or in your mind that conquers all obstacles, that you have to be aggressive? And doesn't it take a certain kind of person in order to be an entrepreneur?
Hi. So I know that's a big debate, if you can teach entrepreneurship or not, and I actually think it can be taught. I mean, if you're going to be an artist, you have to know how to market your own art, or if you're going to start your own studio, if you're a doctor and you have your own firm, or even being entrepreneurial within a company. I think these are all mindsets and skill sets that we can learn and practice, and if you learn them at a young age, it's going to stick with you throughout your life.
Well, it's true. Anything that you learn at a young age, it does become baked in you, whether it be childhood or your relationship with your parents or whatever. yeah, that kind of charts you for the rest of your life, I guess, no matter what it is.
And it's really also affecting our, you know, the synapses in our brain. Kids
yeah.
have so many of these when they're young, and if you can create those neural pathways, I mean, yeah, you're just setting them up for success.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness things have changed. I mean, it's one thing to be an entrepreneur. It's another thing for that perhaps additional hurdle still in effect for women. Yet we do see more and more entrepreneurial women, certainly not on an equal level, but I guess that's a slow process socially, but it's not a slow process if you bring your child up properly.
Yeah, and that's kind of my reasoning for writing this book and for having, you know, teaching girls at a young age is I really want to start a cultural revolution. And
yeah.
it's great that things are getting better slowly, but really starting at that young age. And like you were saying, I mean, even now in Fortune 500 companies, there are more CEOs named John than even women CEOs combined.
Mm. Wow. It's interesting. I, as a child and even as an adult, when I see children sitting at the side of a road, especially girls, with lemonade stands, I my immediate reaction is, good for them, man. Rather than running around shooting guns or playing with dolls or whatever you do, you're actually like, these kids are getting it, and they're having fun doing it, but my immediate reaction is, wow, these are special kids.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that skill set and that mindset is important
yeah.
because 65% of kids in elementary school right now won't have jobs that we can even imagine. So
mm-hmm.
jobs are going to be very different in the future, and we need kids that are thinking entrepreneurially to create their own careers and their own jobs.
Yes. So if we're to set up our children for that mindset, what can a parent do at this point in order to promote that?
So I think there's a lot of things. You know, just getting kids to be creative and curious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're, you know, observing fossils or insects that you're out on a walk, or doing at-home science experiments. And I think a big thing for girls in particular is redefining failure. You know, a lot of girls want to be perfect. We even tell them, you know, sit there and look pretty. Don't get your dress dirty.
Yeah.
Don't play in the mud. So really changing the way we talk to our girls and getting them to go out and try new things and to go climb trees.
Yeah. You know, again, not to be sexist, and it's not a sexist remark, although, you know, boys want to be like their fathers, girls want to be like their mothers. And if the mothers come home from work and talk about their job and their successes with a smile on their face, then the young girls will want to be their moms and will indeed kind of want to pick up a briefcase and even make believe that they are the head of a company. I mean, the role model end of it is so crucial, I think.
Yeah, I think girls definitely need to see women in leadership
yes.
positions or engineering positions
yes.
so that they can then self-cast. They can see themselves
yes.
in those positions. But even though, like, I think we also need to look at the importance of dads. I feel like dads, especially dads in tech, have such a big influence on their girls.
Mm-hmm.
And even for me, I mean, both my parents were influences, but my dad had started a summer camp, and that kind of led me down my entrepreneurial path.
Oh.
So I think you need both. You need male and female role models.
Ideally, yes. But I think females different also. I mean, certainly when I was growing up, I'm a little bit older than you, I think. That role model from the female point of view was not there, really. But now it is, and society has changed in one generation very, very quickly. The book's available everywhere?
Yeah, everywhere. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any place you can find us online.
Hmm. What about a child who is trying to decide coming out of junior high school or high school and trying to carve a career path and they don't know where to go? How much of an influence would the parents be or a high school advisor? Where does a child who isn't sure, in other words, how early in life would a child consciously want to chart their progress?
You know, I don't think all kids necessarily know. I think I knew from a young age, but I would say for parents and counselors and for the children to look at their strengths. Like, what do
yeah.
they enjoy doing? What are they good at doing?
Yeah.
Because we really want to enhance their strengths, and that will take them in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think the younger the age that they discover their strengths, the better off they are for a positive, solid track And those that wait until high school are haven't really found that, and really I think they should have by then. I think the parents should help them find their strengths and pursue them.
Yeah, I mean, even my own children, they have different strengths. One of them is really good with drama, one's good with engineering, one's good with art. But you push them in those directions, and they get more and more small successes, which builds up their confidence. And then they realize in the areas that they're not so strong, they can learn it, but it's okay that they're not, you know, perfect at it.
Interesting stuff. And so crucial. It's really not funny. It's like everything. Okay. The book is called Adventure Girls, Raising Girls to Be Tomorrow's Leaders. And Dr. Kristol, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Very good. Very good. Nice. Very nice. Nicely done. Nicely done, Kristol. Her name is spelled like Kristol, but it's Kristol, so don't get that wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. And stay crazy, why don't you? Yeah.